Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back in hour number 3 of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porther with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's been an interesting week already in the NFL, and the offseason going to be, I think, very interesting as we move forward here. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome Sheil Kapadia to the show from The Athletic. Sheil, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Good morning, guys. How you doing? Doing well over here.
Glad you're doing well. Thanks for taking time to join us, Sheil. And let's start with Tom Brady and the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What was your reaction to just how dominant Tampa Bay's defense was in that game against Kansas City? And now, of course, Brady sits here with 7 Super Bowl titles, winning this one at the age of 43. Pretty incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I thought they certainly had a chance to win. The line and everything, the spread in Vegas would have indicated that before the game, but I was surprised just how dominant that defense was. I mean, we all know that the Chiefs had offensive line issues, but I just looked at it and thought, you know, the Chiefs know that that's going to be a weakness for them. They're going to game plan around it, and Patrick Mahomes is so good. We've seen him compensate for other issues in the past, and it just didn't happen. They just were not able to protect him enough. They were not able to make enough plays when they had opportunities with their receivers, and the Bucs deserve all the credit. Todd Bowles had a great game plan, and they deserve to win. That was not a game where you looked at it and thought the wrong team won. I mean, the Bucs dominated from the start to the finish, and so they're Super Bowl champs.
So, Sheil, you are churning out a lot of stuff for us, as always. But this week is a couple of really interesting pieces. One, your top 50 free agents, and there's some movement on that list from your last one. And I wanted to just, I guess in general, anyone really move up or down in your mind, you know, from last time? Like any different thought? And in particular, of course, the Titans have some guys who, and we've talked about this, are of high interest, possibly to other teams, in Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith.
Yeah, you know, I think a couple guys, I think on the Bucs, if you look at it, sometimes guys who are strong on those playoff runs, they really, make more of a name for themselves. So one guy I would look at would be Shaq Barrett, the Bucs' edge rusher there. Now, I already think he was going to have a nice market. I mean, the guy had 19.5 sacks in 2019. His numbers weren't as good in 2020, but if you look at what he did both in the NFC Championship game and in the Super Bowl, I mean, he was a dominant player, and so they used the franchise tag on him last offseason, and now they have to make a decision. Are they going to be able to re-sign him to a long-term extension? Are they going to use the franchise tag on him a second time, or are they going to let him test the market? Because I know the Bucs want to run it back, but they've got some key free agents between him, Chris Godwin, the wide receiver, and the linebacker, Lavonte David. I mean, those are three core pieces of that Super Bowl-winning team. So they've got some offseason decisions to make. And then it's going to be interesting with those Tennessee Titans that you just mentioned. You know, I think certainly a player like Corey Davis, I would think on the open market, he's really going to get some nice offers where teams will view him and say, you know what, he's still so young. He was very productive last year. He might not be in that top tier with guys like Godwin and Allen Robinson, but, you know, a couple of those guys could get the franchise tag. So I think there's going to be a big market for Corey Davis. And Jonnu Smith, I think if you're another team and you're more of a pass-heavy team than the Titans have been, you look at that and say, you know what, the numbers don't tell the full story with Jonnu Smith. Look at the film. Look at the overall talent. If we get him in a system where he's going to be seeing a lot more targets and a lot more opportunities to make plays with the ball in his hand, then he can be a really good player. So I would expect both those guys to be among the, I can't remember exactly where I had them, but among the top 20, top 30 free agents available.
And then, of course, you always do the power rankings, and you've got your team's best position now, you know, to win the next Super Bowl. First of all, I very much appreciate the Lions at 32 and the the line on Danable the Cannibal leading the league in KD. That's kneecaps devoured, so I got to give you a shout-out for that. But a couple interesting teams. One, you've got the Titans at 16, so maybe seeing some regression. And then, of course, you've got the Chargers up at 9, which I get. I mean, I think they're a really talented team. But how about those two in particular, your analysis of those two?
Yeah, I'm afraid about how many kneecap jokes I'm going to be making this offseason. I don't know if there's a limit or a quota or what, but man, I don't think I'm going to be able to get over.
Let them rip.
Campbell press conference. That was just classic. So, the teams you mentioned there, yeah, the Titans, you know, are a tough team for me to kind of gauge right now. I feel like I could feel differently about them one way or another come August. Come September, but I do think they face some challenges. Of course, they lose Arthur Smith, and I do think he had a lot to do with their offensive success. We could all see the way he maximized the talent they had on that side of the ball, how he schemed up big plays and really gave them an identity. Now, maybe that's already in place, and they're going to be able to carry it over, but I do think that's a question mark that remains to be seen. We talked about they could lose a couple key free agents on the offensive side of the ball, and we all know that was one of the worst defenses in the NFL last season. So I do think they have some questions. I think they've got some talent, and we'll see what they do. But I've got them kind of in that middle tier. And then, you know, I looked at it, and I didn't want to just list the teams in kind of the order they finished last season. So I wanted to look at who's already made some changes and who could make some more changes in the weeks and months ahead. And the Chargers are a team I kind of picked. I think they could really be a surprise team in 2021. I loved what I saw from Justin Herbert as a rookie, and I loved what I saw from Brandon Staley in that Rams defense. He comes over and is the head coach, and I thought Anthony Lynn, you know, I know he's got positive qualities, but I thought he was one of the worst in-game managers of any head coach in the NFL last season. I mean, you just looked at it week after week, they were screwing things up, whether it was clock management, timeout, in-game decision-making. And so I think they're a team that can really see an upgrade in 2021 and certainly be a playoff team.
Sheil Kapadia from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Sheil, I want to ask you about a guy that you're very familiar with, and that is Carson Wentz. What do you think his future looks like? What do you think he has left in the tank as maybe he moves on from Philadelphia?
Yeah, I think it is likely. I think it's almost a given at this point that he's going to be traded, and it's just a matter of when and to what team. You know, if you're a team that wants to trade for Carson Wentz, I think you look at it and say, you know what, 2020 was an outlier. Sure, he was terrible that season, but he had 13 different offensive line combinations. The coaching was not good. They fired their coach. It was just a season that you chalk up to kind of everything going wrong. And then you look back to the previous two seasons and you say he wasn't great, but, you know, he was, I think, if you look at most statistical metrics there, he was around the 11th or 12th best quarterback in the NFL. So I think you can talk yourself into that being the guy that you're going to get. And then, of course, we know 2017, he was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, warranting MVP consideration before he got injured. And so he's only 28 years old, and you say, you know what, we can definitely get him back to that 2018-2019 form, and maybe there is a ceiling where he becomes one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL in a given season. If we get him out of that system, if we give him better coaching, a better supporting cast, maybe we can get him back to that level. And so you look at his salary, you know, he's got about 2 years, $47 million left, and people look at those numbers and they say, that's crazy. What are you talking about? Why would you pay a quarterback that kind of money? It's the going rate for a starting quarterback in the NFL. I mean, look at what Teddy Bridgewater got last year as a free agent. It's not that much different than what you would be paying Carson Wentz. So I actually think if you're a team that believes Wentz can be a top 15 quarterback, the contract is very reasonable and actually below market value.
Now, you mentioned the coaching there, Sheil. What happened to Doug Peterson? And I still think that's like the best coach game I've ever seen. It was that Super Bowl win over the Patriots. Is it a matter of maybe this is an instance of a coach when you lose so many good staff members at some point, it ends up being hard to overcome, or what's the deal with him?
Yeah, it's really the most underrated part, I think, about being a head coach is so much of it is just how can you build a staff? Do you have an eye on the up-and-coming young coaches in the NFL or even in college or, you know, wherever you want to get them from? Do you have an eye for talent there? Because it happens, you know, we just talked about it. with Arthur Smith and the Titans. I mean, it happens every year that you could have a very good team. You could have one of the best teams in the NFL. Well, guess what? Your best assistants are going to get plucked, and they're going to get opportunities elsewhere. And you need to plan ahead. You need to have a list. You need to have a pipeline where you say, you know what? If we lose Coach X, we've got this guy who can come in and fill in right away, and we're not going to miss a beat. And I think he had a really hard time doing that. Now, it wasn't all on him. I think certainly part of it was on him, but he also got pushed from the general manager, from the owner, to make some coaching changes last season that he did not want to make, and it resulted in kind of this hodgepodge of guys who didn't really work well together, and they didn't have an identity on offense. So I think that was the main thing. You know, I think he still had the players had his back to the end. I think they played hard. I think the culture was strong. But I think in the end, the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, was saying, how can we build this offense back up after it was one of the worst in the NFL last season? And he thought Doug Peterson was not the man to do that.
Sheil, we saw some pretty candid comments from Russell Wilson earlier this week, talking about, you know, getting tired of being hit too much, and that he's not sure if he's available in a trade. Like, what do you think the relationship is right now between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks? And if you're the Seahawks, how concerned should you be about those comments?
Yeah, it's sort of wild. I covered the Seahawks for 2 years in Seattle for ESPN, and man, there's always some type of drama going on there in February and March, regardless of what's happening in the offseason. And so, you know, I thought it was a little bit strange, to be quite honest, because if you look at a lot of the numbers, you know, this was not like one of the worst offensive lines he's played for. I mean, when I was covering them in 2015, 2016, the offensive line was absolutely worse than it is right now, or than it was this past season. So, you know, I don't know why he made those comments. I don't know if he's sending a message to the organization that let's load up on offensive linemen. Really, if you look at it, you know, I know a lot of people think the Seahawks ignore the offensive line. It's not true. They've invested a lot of resources into the offensive line. They just haven't worked out. And so it's not like it's something they've ignored. Just kind of the moves they've made haven't always worked out. And so I don't know if that's Russell Wilson sending a message. You know, last offseason he did kind of do a similar thing where he said, you know, we need to let me throw the ball a little bit more and be more aggressive. And they did do that in the first half of this season. So it's just strange. He's been there for so long. I don't know if it's calculated or if it's something he just said, but I think if you're the organization, you look at it and are like, wait a minute, we traded for a left tackle in Duane Brown. We've used first round picks on offensive linemen, and you know, Russell Wilson was not at his best in the second half of this season. So it could just be, you know, something that grabs the headlines for a few days and nothing comes of it. But, you know, certainly something I'm keeping my eye on a little bit as we enter what could be just a wild offseason around the league.
Very wild. So I've got to get your prediction on this, Sheil. Deshaun Watson is playing for fill in the blank in 2021.
I'm glad you asked, because I've got a column on The Athletic coming out tomorrow with my bold prediction. So
nice.
A sneak peek with the big one. And I've got him going to the 49ers. You know, I think this is going to be, and again, I think the most likely scenario is that they're going to do everything in their power to keep him. They're going to try to love him up and say, we've made some mistakes. Let's move forward together. We don't want to trade you. But there's going to come a point where they just have to realize, is he going to be in, or is he really going to push this thing and be willing to sit out games here in the regular season? And if you're the organization and you say, we've screwed this up and we know that there's a lot of things going on there in Houston, and you say, you know what, I don't think the situation is tenable anymore, then you just do what the Lions did with Matthew Stafford and you say, this guy's available, come in with all of your best offers. And I think you really could get a godfather offer from a team like the Miami Dolphins, like the Carolina Panthers. Now, I chose the 49ers because if you look at it, the one team I look at and say, man, if they just have Deshaun Watson and the play caller, the head coach, Kyle Shanahan, I think you can figure everything else out for the next 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, and you're going to be competing for a Super Bowl every year. So that might mean 3 first-round picks and Nick Bosa. It might mean, you know, 2 first-round picks and 3. I don't know. It could be one of the wildest offers we've seen. But if I'm San Francisco, I say we can't go into this 2021 with Jimmy Garoppolo and not being sure if he's going to stay healthy and not having a backup plan. Let's fix that. Let's get Watson and Shanahan in place, be the NFC's version of the Kansas City Chiefs, and we'll figure everything else out from there.
Sheil Kapadia from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Sheil, appreciate you so much for taking time to join us.
All right, guys. Good talking to you. Take care.
Absolutely. To you, Sheil, as well. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Sheil had to say there. What do we think about this Russell Wilson noise in Seattle as well? All that coming up here on Robbie and Rex Road. And also, make sure you're tuning in for your cue to call this hour. We've got a pair of tickets to give away for the Predators and the Red Wings game on Saturday night. Make sure you're tuning in all hour long for that. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.